Turn to Acts chapter 2 for one verse. I'm going to be all over the place, maybe. I believe God will speak to our hearts. I know he has spoken to mine in the last few days. I'm so thankful for his grace, what Jesus Christ has done for every one of us here. I wrote a little note while Jean Marie was singing, and it goes like this. Do you think you have a connection with God and don't know it? Let me say it this way. Do you think you have a connection with God? Question number one. You can answer me. You look scared. I don't know. You okay? Okay, wait a minute. This will get moving here in a second. Do you think you have, do you know you have a relationship with God? Yes, we do. We have been born again, and the Spirit of God has come into our lives. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him. This is Psalm 16. Peter is preaching at Pentecost. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Year 2020, the vision, perfect eyesight, 2020. Could I be moved? Yes, I can be moved. But David said, I've set the Lord before my face so that I am not moved. How can that be when we as emotional, troubled, dying, sick people could not be moved? He says in verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My heart rejoiced because the Lord is at my right hand set before my face. I am not moved. My heart rejoices. My tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because you will not leave my soul in hell. I want to say it. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Let me change the words a little bit. Because you will not send me to hell, and you will not allow my mortal body to deteriorate in the grave. Well, the Messiah's mortal body. The Messiah, his body decayed for 3 days and then was glorified and raised. So he shifts from his own sense of security to the reality of the Messiah that would not go to hell and his body would not deteriorate in the grave. Therefore, my heart is rejoicing in you. And then he says, verse 28, you made me to know the ways of life. I don't know, we got to pause there for a second. You made me to know the ways of life. Have you learned any of the ways of God in life? Have you learned the ways of God in life? You have made me to know the ways of life. You have taught me about life. I don't fear like other people. I'm not worried about like other people. I'm not afraid of cancer as other people are. I hate the whole idea of it, but I've got in connection with the reality that is being spoken here in Psalm 16. Look at the next part. It says, you shall make me full of joy with your countenance. That's the part that got me today, kind of. Your face, your countenance. I think in the first part of the verse, you maybe know the ways of life. Maybe a good Baptist might know the ways of life. But the second part is the key. And you shall make me full of joy because of your face. Your face, God's face. Have you seen God's face? Has the face of God connected with, I always think of a face behind my face. You know, there's a face, eyes behind my eyes, ears behind my ears, face behind my face. Where do we get that from? When Jesus prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration, his body was transformed to light. And the reality of who he was came through his mortal flesh. And they were incredibly amazed as he was transfigured. Well, the Bible says the same is with us. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we are changed from glory to glory. Have you had a slice of glory? Have you had the Spirit touch you? Has the face of God released you? You know, that's the thought here. You see, a lot of people are wanting to lose weight, put their iPhones down, maybe learn something new, like to sing or dance, or they want to go to a school, or they want to do something this coming year, or travel to new places, and all of these things that consume our regular life. The amazing thing is that many of those things happen to us. We quit smoking. We get serious. We get focused. Some spiritual thing happens in our mind that we can become interested in the invisible things, that things that the people of the world cannot see them. But because of that kind of switch or new birth, or that the Spirit was sent, Jesus said it, because we're not making any of this up. We are quoting Bible verses and learning from our Bible that this is the normal life for us, that he has filled us with joy by his countenance. Now comes the question, do you have a connection with God? Answer, yes. Second question, do you have a connection with God and sometimes you don't know it? Now I'm afraid to answer that question because I don't want to get it wrong publicly. Okay, what's the answer? When did it happen in the Bible? When Jesus is walking with them and they don't know that that is Jesus. When Martha was at the tomb, she thought he was the gardener, but that was God. But she didn't know it. I believe that God is with you and sometimes you don't know it. It says that Jacob woke up out of his dream and that's what he said. God was here and I didn't know it. And I say this by way of encouragement. Because we might hear a message like this, and we might say, well, that's amazing, I believe you, but it's been a long time since the face of God has been shining on my face. And we say, don't be too sure of that. Maybe he's been walking with you all the time, and you haven't known it. Don't be so sure about how you're not what you should be. Because this night tonight isn't about quitting smoking or drinking or whatever, cigarettes and all those things that people struggle with. This is about something glorious. And when we get a hold of that, when that shines on us, when we realize who we are, when our inner man is changed, when we are renewed in our mind, things drop off of us like nothing. They disappear, they melt. It says, Psalm 68 says that even Mount Sinai was shaken by the presence of God. And that's a big, tough, legalistic place. But when God visits anywhere in the universe, when God visits the sinful heart of man and shows him his grace, like the Apostle Peter, then he changes us. We are changed by his grace and his work. Wow. So that's the message. I have about three scripture portions. We'd be here until midnight, and actually, isn't that what we're going to do? Okay, so anyway, I just have a lot to say about it, and I just love it. And I know we are on the same page. And I just believe that so much of what we are looking for, you cannot even put it into a resolution, because it's not about that. So much of what we're looking for is love. Love, where is he? Where is my beloved? And she gets out of bed, starts looking, finds him in the garden. It's about love. He is buried over there. Martha and Mary and the other Marys, they go take notice and where he's buried, and they recognize it and they love him. And they're going to come back early morning, the first day of the week. This is about love. This is about the spiritual life of the believer. This is about a change that happens not by the wisdom of men, but by the wisdom that is different. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. And we will look at a few verses here. Chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross. You see, the cross, could I have that iPad, Pastor, if you would, on my, the cross, wow. The cross. Thank you. The preaching of the cross. What a disappointment it is to the intellectual when you cannot explain the cross to them with the wisdom that they can articulate, explain, reason. They're very smart, capable people, but you just are pointing to the cross. There's a naked man hanging there, rejected, crucified. The preaching of the cross. The cross. How about quitting smoking, losing weight, being more disciplined, and so on? Yeah, okay, yeah, I know, like, I would like that, that would be great, okay, yeah. But is there a way, is there something I'm missing in this world? Is there something from God that is not me? But maybe I'm missing something. Even if I lose 100 pounds, imagine I lose 100 pounds, I get that done, and that's fine. I don't have any issue with any of these things like that. But I am wanting to say something. What if I gain the whole world and lose my soul? What if I'm climbing a ladder, but the ladder is leaning on the wrong building? What if I save and I win and I get all that I could ever imagine, but I miss what? God. God. I miss God. You know, we're not so smart as maybe sometimes we think we are. So strong as sometimes we would like to think we are. We aren't the answer. We don't know. We don't know what we're doing. All the world is in it. They're drinking and partying and making promises and looking at the coming year. 1 year from now, what do they have? Just another holiday to make another, you know, to think about life again the same way they think of it. They just think about life the same way. What can we do this year? But this is amazing. It says here, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I mean, it's as foolish as a tin can in the street means nothing. Tin can lying in the gutter, a tin can, a crummy Starbucks coffee cup that's been used, thrown in the trash. It is as meaningless as any trash, any throwaway thing, the preaching of the cross. This means nothing. This means nothing. I've been there, I've seen it, I listened to the message, I sat there listening, I just think, I don't know what these people are doing. I got a life to live, I got a city to build, I got a job to do, I got resolutions to make. They can think like that. But look at the verse, it says, but unto us which are saved. You see, when you're saved, that birth happens. When you're saved, you start to look at the invisible. You start to believe that life is more than a cup of coffee or a paycheck. It's more than having a nap in the afternoon or buying a new car or getting my way at work or getting hurt or disappointed or going to jail for a couple of years or being depressed or being happy, whatever it is. I start to believe that my life is a lot more than what I am now experiencing. It's more than me. I start to believe that God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. Oh, really? God is here. Wow. That changes everything. Is God here? God Almighty is here. Amazing. This is a secret that the world doesn't know, but you know it. And I've been living with you folks for quite a while now, decades in one sense, you know, many decades together, and I know that you know what I'm saying. I know that you know. And I know these dear people that we sent out in the mission field, they are going not just like some religious exercise. They are going with a message because they have experienced the reality of this person who is hiding from the world but making himself known to those that believe and will trust in God in all times. Good days and bad times, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And David said that he fills me with joy and the light of his countenance has released me in realizing that I am in the very presence of God and he has shown me his ways. And also put his face upon mine. So there it is. Look at the next part, please. It says, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I don't know how so many ways we could. I know every time I make an illustration, I realize I'm not hitting the point. I might be hitting buttons in your hearts that are not good, or they may be good. I don't know. My illustration isn't exactly correct. But the wisdom of the wise. Somebody said we could walk on the moon, but can we walk in the park without getting killed or shot or lost or depressed? You know, to take sand and make an iPhone, silicon is from sand. And to take sand and make an iPhone is absolutely unbelievable, way beyond any of our capacities, even to imagine. When you turn on your iPhone, you have more computer power than what took for this country to put a man on the moon. This phone is incredible. It's the wisdom of the world. But could you find an iPhone on somebody's dead body and say the wisdom of the world could not do what God does? Could you find an iPhone on somebody's heart? I'm not heart, but in their pocket, breast pocket. Could you find them and they are busy stealing somebody's money on the other side of the world? The wisdom of the world has made an amazing instrument. But in a way, at the end of the day, God is saying, in it, if you don't have me, it's an exercise of futility. In Ecclesiastes, it speaks that way. Where is the wisdom of the world when it comes to the real issues of life? Fear, depression, guilt, death, cancer, disease, broken hearts. Where is the wisdom of the world? And the answer is the human race is suffering so much because we don't have God. And we can't find God by the wisdom of the world. For by the wisdom of the world, we know not God. Let's read that verse. It's there, verse 19. It says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Verse 20. Where is the wise? It's an amazing question. Go to the public school, get all the administration, all the teachers. You have 100, 150, 200, 300 people, and you could ask, God could say to you in your heart, which one is wise? Where is the wise? Who is wise? You get all the pastors in the United States, put them all together, and we pray for the church seriously. And I'm including myself in the whole illustration. Of course, we all are in the same. And I'm saying, God is saying, where is the wise? And if you find a wise man, does anybody care? Jesus said it this way, the wiser than Solomon is here. And the Queen of Sheba looked for Solomon, but nobody's coming to me. So we got two problems. Where is the one in the thousand? It says in the book of Job, one in a thousand, Job chapter 33. And then once we find the one wise man in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we forget about him after he delivers the city. Wow, we got a problem. Sisters and brothers, we got a problem. Guys, we could be missing the precious stuff that is so amazing. But I want to say better things than that tonight. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. I would love to spend a little more time here, but I want to move along and say what I want to say and finish the message. But this verse is, what I just said that the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom did not know God because they don't know the ways of God. And nor do I. Let me close with a story. The other night, I woke up at 2 in the morning and I was dead, guilty, empty, disappointed with myself or whatever. I'm not feeling the best. It is 2 in the morning, okay, 3 in the morning. And But I just started to think about God, and I started to get hungry for God in my heart. And I just said, you know, there was a time when I would get up at 3 in the morning and get on my knees and seek God with all my heart. And I'd be refreshed by God. And I said, I thought to myself, I don't know how, and I'm not evaluating, cannot evaluate, and I'm not guilty, and I'm not particularly religious, okay? But I know the difference, and I love it. When you in your heart say, where are you? I don't want to do the ministry automatically, like roll out of bed and go to church, roll out of bed and do a Bible study, roll out of bed and do your stuff, roll out of bed and evangelize, roll out of bed and just do it automatically, say the words that you know in your heart, and you know them for decades, for many of you, I definitely do, and on it goes, but no, I'm not interested. Lord Jesus, come on. So I spent some time, and it wasn't anything great. I would say it was just quietness. It was nakedness. It was weakness. It was just emptiness. It was the cross. It's not wisdom. It's not a lot of talking. It's not explaining anything. It's not anything about us as human beings. It is simply God is present with you. God is for you. With God, all things are possible. What if we enter this year with this understanding? I mean, I got stuff. Okay, yeah, what do you want for this coming year? I don't know about anything. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I can dwell in his house, and he could show me his glory and reveal to me his nature, and I could love again, be a child again, be just like a happy little camper all over again. Come on. Just saying it is possible. It is possible. God is here. Beautiful. I don't think the world has the knowledge of the cross, so they cannot be talking about these things tonight. They'll be drinking or talking and just making, maybe going to bed with some hope in their heart. But our story is this. After more than 40 or 50 of these New Year Eve services, we come to the same, we come every time with the same message. And that is, God will take care of me this year. God will uphold us this year. God will take us through our trials this year. Maybe like a year ago, some of our brothers and sisters that were sitting here a year ago are now in the presence of God's glory, and they made it into heaven by his grace. And as they were living here, they were being prepared in their heart to one day meet him. And that is an amazing privilege that we are being prepared by God in this life. When you go through your trials, rejoice in them all the time, because it's a short time when we won't have any anymore. Use them, James 1 and verse 2. Learn to have a good time. Come on. Learn to have a good time. Come on, knock it off. Learn to have a good time. Yeah, don't get all stuffed up and stuck and, you know, you got to be, you know, doing everything right and, you know, you got to be, you know, knock it off. Enjoy your life. Make a joyful noise. Learn how to sing and enjoy God and be free in grace and be spirit-filled and enjoy the body and forgive a lot. And by the way, don't get so close to people. Be wise and spirit-filled and discerning. Guys, your relationship with people could not, may not be a good thing in some case. And, you know, you learn to be wise and discerning. I love it. I can say hello and I can go away. I need you, but I don't need you. Okay? I need you, but I don't need you. Okay? You know what I mean? Dependency in the wrong way is not a spiritual life. So there you go. All right, so let's finish with one more. It goes here, verse, I think it's verse 20. Where are we? Verse, is it 21? We did it already? Yep. Let me read it, just run through these. The Jews require a sign because Moses split the Red Sea. The Greeks seek after wisdom because they had Plato and Socrates. But we preach Christ crucified. Ooh, what a disappointment. Christ crucified. Where's the sign? Where's Plato's discourse? Where's the homily? Where's the explanation? Where's the big thick books? We just see a naked man hanging on the cross saying, I am the wisdom of God. I am the power of God. You actually look foolish and weak. And he goes, you should get used to this because this is the way. It's not by you being strong. It's by you needing me. You needing the Father. You trusting the Father like I trust the Father. And he put me here. And I'm telling you, this is God's way. The next time you lose something, walk with God, and you'll find that God has a plan for you. Don't get so angry and upset with the world and yourself and the world around you and other people. Learn to take up the cross. When you're disappointed or hurt in life, learn to hang on a cross and be there for a while. And quiet down and submit yourself to Almighty God and learn how to look at the things that are not seen so that you would have a growing capacity in your new nature and walk with God and know him in a personal way. One other thing, sometimes we are drawn to the world, and this is what we say. I want my kids to have everything. I want to have things. I'm drawn to the reputation or the status or status things, or I'm drawn to, you know, I want my neighbors to think we are good people. And we're drawn to a lot of things that are in the world, not to mention obviously sinful things that we can be drawn to, sex and money and power and these kind of things. But let us take our care and say, I might gain all that, but what is it if I lie down in sorrow? What is it if I lose my soul? What is it if I'm like actually deeply depressed? I got everything I wanted, but I'm alone in my house. I'm sitting in my house. I used to deliver trunks for a business up in New England for a part-time job in the summer times. You guys know about it. We went to wealthy families to deliver in New Jersey. And five cars in the garage, special cars, huge house, and a woman sitting by herself and lives alone and all by herself in a big house. What good is it if I gain the whole world and I don't have anything, really? What is it? I can have that stuff, but not in my heart. I got to go to the cross, no matter who. Daniel in Persia, Esther in Persia, high positions, Joseph in Egypt, high positions of power. But if you know God, you'll kneel down, your throne is there, but you get off your throne and you go, hey, back in the bathroom. And you kneel down there, and you know where you came from and where you're going. And you humble yourself before the Almighty God. And that's a vulgar picture, I know, but it makes a point. And the beautiful thing is that when we come before Almighty God as a person, and we say, Jesus, I will always set you before my face. You are right, my right hand. I will not be moved because you've shown me your ways. And you've lifted up your countenance upon me. And I found that joy again. And I found that peace. Now you sit on your throne of influence, but you have a heart of mercy. You have a way of faith. You have a wisdom that is from above. You have a power that people wonder, where do you get the power? Where do you get your joy from? Where do you get your life, your spontaneity, your freedom? Where do you get that from? And we say, I don't know. I just know that God is a living God. And that if you walk with God, God will be in your heart and in your life and in your mind and in your motivation. And God will be in your life in such a way that there'll be there something going on. And the world, the world around us doesn't, the devil knows it though. He knows it. Remember we said in the hot Baltimore afternoon in Baltimore, you open up a can of Coca-Cola, you put it on your back porch, and what comes? The hornets come. But if you put hamburger out in the back porch on a hot, sunny day in Baltimore City, what comes? Boat flies. Not just flies, but boat flies. Now, isn't that interesting? Why don't the flies come to the Coca-Cola, and why do the hornets go to the hamburger? Okay, the answer, simple answer, they're not stupid. They're not stupid. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this, if you walk with God, the demons will know it. The demons will know it. No, I'm not kidding you. I got to make that point stronger. When Jesus showed up, the first ones were the demons. John the Baptist, really, was the first one. And after John the Baptist, the demons, they were the ones. The demons were filled the man and came running down to that Jesus there and threw himself down. I know you, thou Holy One of Israel. Did you come to destroy us? Leave us alone. We have nothing to do with you. Yeah. And if you take this message, you take what we are talking about, and I'm saying, and I love it. If you and I find the cross as a way of life, the demons don't mind you believe in Jesus. I mean, that's if you're saved, they have nothing to say about it. But they could be all over you all the time, day and night. By the minute you take up the cross and you follow him, you give your life over to God, the minute you start walking by faith and learn the ways of God and God's face is on you, then you will have some warfare going on. There'll be something about you that will be marked out, and the wicked will put their arrow. And they will shoot their arrow at the upright, Psalm 11 and verse 2. You may have more trouble than you could ever imagine, and you wonder, why did this happen to me? And I don't have an answer, and I do not know, and I don't look for demons under every table, but I can tell you that just like a can of Coca-Cola works with hornets, so godly people, it happens, the demons come. But they are frustrated. They can't believe it. How come I can't get this guy? They can't believe it. You are mocking me. I got to finish. This is a long message. But okay, we got till midnight. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to say this because I think you know this, but it's worthwhile saying it because it's in a different context. Do you know what? When Joseph, thank you. When Joseph... You know what? You know what? When Joseph was in Egypt, there was a woman that wanted him, wanted to sleep with him. You know the story. And when he refused, and he refused, and the woman was after him, do you know what she said? After the thing was over and he got away, he escaped. What did she say about him? This Jew is mocking me. He is mocking me. And do you know what the correct answer is to that? You're right. You don't have it. You don't have enough. You don't have it. You can't get him. You don't have it. You cannot get that guy, Joseph. He's mocking you. And what is he saying to you? You don't have it. I'm not interested. You cannot get me. You cannot connect with me. I don't have any part to do with that thing. That's just like one way of trashing her in her mind. He wasn't doing it for that reason. He was doing it because he walked with God. But do you know what it means? When you and I walk like this, the devil says, you are mocking me. You are mocking me. And we are saying, you got that right. You don't have it. You don't have enough for me. You can't offer me the world. You don't have a thing for me. You got that right. You don't have the power to take me on. You got to go back in your hole. Guys, you don't have what it takes to get me. And you know how much that means in this world to the angels? When they see this cross working in your life and you walk on the high places of the devil and you can say to the devil, you're a mighty, great, incredibly intelligent, powerful being way above and beyond me, a mortal man out of the dirt that gets sick and vomits every once in a while because of sickness and has a fever and gets and dies one day. But how could a man made out of dust put you under his feet? How could that happen? How could a dumb person like me, who knows nothing about this whole thing, but God has revealed it to us through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we as a body are walking in an authority in this world that I am sure the angels, they stoop down to listen in 1 Peter 1:16. I am sure it has a value way above and beyond anything we could imagine. I am sure that our lives touch the lives of many people in different ways and helps them. And I'm sure that the root of this whole thing is spiritual. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Maybe someone listening tonight would like Jesus in their heart. We want to give this invitation to you to come to Jesus tonight. It happened to each one of us that are believers. We heard a word like this tonight. Many different messages and different ways it's expressed, but the message is the same. Jesus Christ died for you, was raised from the dead for you, is seated at the right hand, is alive, is dwelling in us. And we are saying to you, life is more than a hamburger. It's more than your 70 years on earth. Your life is actually, you will live forever. Where? Where? Will you die in your sin and be judged by God without mercy? Because you have no way without Christ. There is no mercy. There's only judgment without mercy. But in Christ, you have mercy without judgment. The judgment came on the Son of God so you could have mercy. Please say to Jesus in your own way, Jesus, I believe in you. Save me, forgive me. Come into my life. Save me. Anyone raise your hand here in the auditorium We want to give you that invitation. Just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Raise your hand. Praise God. God bless you. Anyone at all? Anybody? Are you okay? Thank you. Yes. Amen. Well, okay, yeah. We have communion now, so you're welcome to take communion with us tonight, and we'll have the ushers will come up and serve the communion. So, Father, bless this in Jesus' name, amen.